The Guardian.
And now.
Tomorrow Radio. Who knows its nature?
You know that I am your friend. You don't have to do anything.
Stand by.
And curiosity often leads to trouble.
Make yourself free and comfortable. Loosen your clothes, move around, stretch. Stretch like a cat.
The Guardian Radio on MTS.
What a peculiar place to have a party.
You just can't keep us away. It's another Guardian Radio Hour on NTS and more tales from music's back pages until 3pm. Last week, Matthew Herbert joined us to explore rhythm. You can catch the podcast for that on the Guardian Music site right now. But for today's show, their live performances are said to have women and men tearing their clothes off screaming. Their music mixes up extreme left politics, absurdist humour, psychedelia, cunt, are you loving this, boys?
Yeah,
and serial killer references. And, according to The Guardian this week, even Elton John is a fan. Or his, they
Well, he bought the record. He might not have liked it, you know what I mean? He might have put it on and thought it were rubbish.
I think you're probably Elton's new favourite band. It's Fat White Family, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
And what's your chosen theme for today? Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Outsider balladry, I suppose, is, you know, what you'd call it.
Great. Keeping, you know, that Valentine's kind of theme going.
Keeping that lovely Valentine's theme running strong.
So not any Mariah Carey then?
She didn't quite make the list, I don't think.
Damn it.
No,
she was
on the maybe pile, but she got cut out.
Well, one track that definitely made the defo pile is Van Morrison's Sweet Thing. So let's hear it.
Yes.
That was Van Morrison's Sweet Thing. First outsider ballad from Saul and Lias from Fat White Family.
Yes. It's not really an outsider. I wouldn't say that Van was really an outsider.
He's kind of an establishment figure, really, actually.
He's
kind of got off on the wrong foot there.
That's why I really like that song, because I think it really is Van Morrison is kind of evil incarnate, that he's like, you know, just singing about trying to be, you know, trying to be nice.
Yeah, that sounds
his attempt.
The Beast of Belfast.
It is. That song seems like he's trying to trying to get back some sort of innocence or something.
Yeah, it's literally kind of screaming.
Yeah.
But you know.
So why did you guys choose Outsider Ballads for your theme?
I must have been in a bit of a mood that day. Not sure, really.
It's not exactly Brixton's Cut Party vibes, is it?
Well, this is actually what we listen to all the time, really.
Yeah. If we're partying, this is kind of what we listen to. I guess we're quite depressive individuals, really.
Excellent.
I don't think they're depressing songs, though, really. I mean, it's not like, you know, Throbbing Gristle or something. That's kind of depressing, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely among the more uplifting.
Yeah,
tracks.
There's hope in all that misery, I suppose.
Right, well, the next track that you've chosen is another kind of very, very weird, very shonky outsider ballad. You tell me a bit about Mary Ann Hay and Don Kelly.
I found this on a compilation... of things called vanity records, which were like when people used to make their own kind of records to give to their mum or something like that, you know. They made I don't know, I think it's a Vera Lynn song or something, I don't know, but it's just, I love it. I can't really explain why.
It was from, I think I've got it here, it's the Enjoy the Experience compilation, Homemade Records, 1958 to 1992.
Yes.
This is from the 50s or early 60s or something.
Slightly less established than Van.
Far less established, but equally as good.
Nonetheless, touching.
So they were making their own records, they're pressing their own records. It's like, almost like they were the sort of first outsider bedroom artists, I guess?
DIY, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then things kind of like went a bit away from that, and then now they've kind of come back to that, haven't they? Now people make their own records and at home all the time.
that nobody listens to.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Happy days.
Well, I guess let's listen to the track. It's called Red Sails in the Sunset, / Blue Hawaii. Which one is it, do we know?
Red Sails in the Sunset.
All right, let's listen to it.
Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved ones home safely to me. He sailed with the dawning. All day I've been blue. This magic night of nights with you.
Are you still awake, guys?
Are you awake out there? Well, yeah, we're here. We're still here.
Hoping so. That was pretty woozy, that track.
It was. It's put me in a kind of very mellow state now. I don't know if I can continue with this.
Yeah.
It's weird to think that back in those days that someone's come out with something like that. It's so slow.
It is.
And so bizarre.
And I don't think they were taking any drugs.
I don't know, man. They had Valium back then.
No, but if you see Mary Ann and Don Kelly, they look pretty straight.
Yeah, they've got like the kind of cat eye glasses, the nicely permed hair.
You never know, it's always the ones you least expect.
Don't trust them. Apparently,
crackheads.
Well, right. maybe they were. Who knows? Maybe someone will be able to tweet in and tell us.
Mystery can tell
if
you've got any.
If anyone knows any information,
about
please.
The Valium habits of Marianne Hay
about
and
their
Don
whereabouts.
Kelly.
Well, that's one of the interesting things I think about a lot of the songs that you've picked for today is that a lot of these artists you don't hear about anymore. They just sort of disappeared. They sort of made a record or they made a couple of tracks. And
I don't know. Van's doing all right. Yeah, I think Iggy's all right too. You know. We've got a couple on there. I mean, Lou's dead and gone, but he did all right. But,
Do you guys consider yourselves outsider artists?
I don't think... It's hard to say that without sounding like a complete arsehole, really, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, it is. So,
I'm going to say no.
So we're going to issue that question and yeah, no.
Well, let me put it in a different way. What do you think like defines or pulls all these people together?
Retarded methodology, I suppose. You know, not really knowing what you're doing.
Something you guys can relate to.
Something which I'm quite strong in that area.
But also, there's something which is kind of not really you know, you can't really explain why there's that kind of strange element in the songs, because they're kind of, you know, some of them are kind of musically kind of conventional, but there's just a weird kind of otherworldliness to them that I can't really put my finger on.
Are you guys drawn to songs that try and pull something different and pull it into a different shape? Do something weird.
I'm drawn to songs. I'm always trying to cry.
Ballads can definitely do that.
Inadequacy is the thing I find most appealing.
Anything that brings the tears out.
Well, I don't know if we can quite call Iggy Pop inadequate, but he is the next track that you've chosen. Tiny Girls, what about this track? Why is this on the list?
It's kind of like a Roy Orbison song, almost. But it's got that kind of like, it just kind of keep building up, and it's like...
I love it when Iggy croons.
It's triumphant.
You know?
All right.
He shouldn't be a crooner, but he is a fantastic crooner.
Well, let's hear some of that croon, shall we?
Yes.
Let's hear some of that sweet croon.
So that was Iggy Pop, Tiny Girls. Do you guys put that on all your mixtapes for girls?
I don't think I've ever made a mixtape for a girl.
What, you've never? Not as a Valentine's Day present?
I made one. Caring Moves Part 1. Yeah,
well, that had things like E17 on it. And
it had Take That Back for Good on it.
Scooter was on there.
I was desperately trying to reclaim my ex-girlfriend at the time, and I did make
it work?
A...
Make,
It did, yeah, and then I blew it.
He did a series of different things. This was just one part of a series of caring moves.
Another one was I had to go down to the sexual health clinic and get properly tested. You know, it was
a very caring move.
That one
means a lot.
Shows you care.
Strong message out there for all the lovers. So, I mean, you guys are both sort of singing along to this at equal. I'm just going to continue. I'm just going to push on through.
All right.
You guys are singing along to this quite a lot. Who introduced who to Iggy Pop or to this
album? I think Iggy Pop, we both knew about him before we found each other.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of like...
He's a bit of a staple.
He's a staple, yeah, yeah.
But that record, that whole album I really got into, like I think last year. It's the best David Bowie record ever, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. That's him on sax, isn't it?
That's concerning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you did great on that, David.
What about, well done, David. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. 10 out of 10, mate.
Yeah.
What about television personalities, which is your next choice?
Heroes of ours.
Television personalities are a funny one. I went to see them playing. It was quite a shockingly sad experience because it was like he just couldn't sing and he'd really lost it. You know, he's had a really tough, difficult life. Dan Tracy has not made things easy on himself.
He has not.
And he's suffered from all kinds of mental illness. But it's just the kind of longing in the song. You know, you can tell that he really just, I think, because it's about a girl, and in my mind, I imagine that really they only met once, maybe they only went for one drink once, and he's like, you know, can't get over that. So, but, I mean, it might not be that sad, I don't know.
He was quite romantic out of all of the punks, was he not?
Extremely romantic.
Yeah, man, to his own detriment, probably.
And very political, which I guess I can see why you guys were pretty inspired by.
Yes.
Yeah. Television personalities.
Yeah.
All right, I'll stop the ramble and just play it, shall I?
Okay. Let's do it.
Stop and smell the roses. So that was Television Personalities, Stop and Smell the Roses from their 1984. But they smell sweet, huh? Doesn't smell so fresh in here, but...
What do you mean by that?
We've got a bit of a crew in here today, haven't we?
We have. We've brought a few...
Special guests.
Shoulders to cry on.
In incredible coats. I read somewhere that someone's saying that this song was like what the Stone Roses were aiming for with I Want to Be Adored.
Yeah, well, that song we just listened to. I mean, I can hear that. I've never heard that before, but I can see they botched it.
You know what I mean? They blew it.
Yeah, it was a bit, you know, they were a bit too adored.
Yeah.
Very much adored. unlike Television Personalities, I don't really know that much about them, but they seem to be the sort of forebears of the neo-psychedelia scene at that time, I guess.
They went through a lot of changes, and I think they've always kind of been a few steps ahead of everyone else.
Nicely contentious the whole time.
Musically, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, The Painted World, I read from Google, that it was that place called Google, I read things sometimes, it was personal and it was romantic, but he was also railing against Thatcher, and television personalities, what inspired you to be political?
I think the way they straddle both the personal and the political is something that's really admirable in any kind of artistic practice.
Mm-hmm. And even when they're being political, it's very personal, like, anyway. You know, it's not like they're not like a kind of telling you what to think, like Crass or something. You know?
Yeah, yeah, they don't implore you to think a certain way, which is often patronising and kind of annoying.
But it's all right if Crass did it. But
it's okay if Crass did it every now and then, and you know,
I'll take it from Crass.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I read that you once said that reveling in your own misery is the ultimate protest. Do you still believe?
I think
that?
So. Yeah, I think it is. I'd stand by that. Yeah,
it's an easy protest as well.
I think it's one
you
that
don't
you
have
can,
to do much.
You can kind of enjoy yourself while you're protesting as well. You know, but I think that pretty much sums it up. Yeah.
Well, speaking of reveling in one's own misery, see what I did there, guys.
I just, it was
so
great, beautiful.
is the second track that you've chosen is by Connie Converse, is this incredible sounding character.
Yeah.
Do you know much about her story?
Yeah. Well, what I know about her is that she made this record. The guy recorded it, I think, ended up being a kind of famous cartoonist, I heard, and then she disappeared. And then this is what I've heard. I don't know if this is true or not, but she just kind of disappeared. No one even found her. And then years later, they discovered, after this guy died in his basement, the recordings of this album. And it's
pretty phenomenal.
I think it really speaks of kind of the time and place. It's like New York and the kind of, I think it's in the 50s.
In the 50s, yeah. Greenwich Village kind of scene.
But she's just got such a wonderful like way with words and such a kind of
And the way the music shifts in unpredictable kind of ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind
it's
of
not
like
a straight chorus verse. It's like one kind of chorus at the beginning and then a whole other thing. And
The kind of more wholesome Joni Mitchell.
She's kind of
It's weird, isn't it? Joni had all that success and poor old Connie, God knows where she
disappeared,
is now.
Didn't she?
She dematerialized.
there's lots of theories about what happened to her, but I think what's interesting is that she sounds like she was almost a sort of proto singer songwriter. She was one of the first people to just get her guitar and just sing personal stories.
The full package.
It's really early stuff, isn't it? Really early.
Mm.
All right, so this one's Talking Like You, in brackets, Two Tall Mountains.
In between two tall mountains, there's a they call lonesome. Don't see why they call it lonesome. I'm never lonesome when I go there. See that bird sitting on my windowsill? Well, he's saying whippoorwill all the night through. I'm never lonesome now I live there.
Anyway, this is called Clay Pigeons. And not there. Get a ticket to ride. Gonna find that lady.
Wow.
There it is. Oh,
blazing it.
Wow. The best.
What track was that?
There you go. Clay Pigeons.
Clay Pigeons.
Clay Pigeons. By
always Blaise. Say the name of your track at the end, just in case anyone's.
Just it's a good way of publicising it.
In doubt.
Yeah.
How did you? I mean, this guy has a mad, wild story.
He does.
How did you guys discover him?
I discovered him through a friend of mine called Matthew Johnson, who runs Fat Possum Records. He's a big fan of anything.
Didn't he put him out?
He did. Yeah, anything like that. But he told me this story about him, which is that. Basically, all his friends got together and they put the money up for him to record a record at Muscle Shoals. But he was so paranoid and fucked up and he thought that he didn't trust anyone. So he took all the tapes, the master tapes, with him in his car, and he was living in his car. And then his car got nicked, and the record was forever lost.
The end of that one.
So all the recordings. I mean, there's a couple of recordings that surface somehow, but most of them are live. And then he tried to defend an old man from his son, who was coming and beating him up every day, and then he got shot. But the son shot Blaise Foley, and he died defending this old man.
This
so he's kind of a real heroic,
mythical kind of character.
There's a great documentary about him actually called Duct Tape Messiah that everyone should watch. It's really good.
Called Duct Tape because he used to put. I've read that he put duct tape on the silver tips of his cowboy boots because it was a sort of statement against the showy.
Yeah, it was like all the country
Texan
jackets
look.
That they wear. You know, like nudie suits. Nudie or whatever.
Suits.
He like he
anti nudie
tape.
Suit.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seems to embody this idea of. outsider, totally. Outlaw.
He lived in a tree, didn't he? So I mean, don't get more outside than that.
Yeah, and he writes songs about feeding pigeons clay. I mean, it's out there, isn't it? You know.
he was mates with is it Townes Van Sant?
Yeah, they were Townes were like big kind of drinking buddies. Yeah. I think
And they romanticised that outlaw lifestyle quite a lot, you could say.
They definitely did, yeah.
I think if you look at Townes Van Zandt's eyes, you can see that really...
He's quite a sweet.
There might be other things better to do than that.
Yeah. Can you guys relate to that at all?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, there's a lot of mythology surrounding him, but also surrounding you guys. Someone on the chat room right now, Jasper, is asking, is it true that Lias once worked as a security guard for Michelle Gale?
That's absolutely true, yes.
Who's Michelle Gale?
No, this is not true at all. I don't even know who Michelle Gale is. And a security guard, I don't think really would be an appropriate role for me, given how much of a pathetic pussy I am.
I'm sure you could pull it off.
My little brother beats me up, man. You know what I mean? It's really not my place in the world, you know. So sorry to disprove that one for you.
Sorry, Jasper.
Sorry, Jasper, man. You know.
But there are loads of kind of people. I hear all sorts of things about you, but you must hear some pretty weird things. Weirder than Michelle Gale, security guard.
The truth is always weirder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. The stuff my dad comes out with is weirder than most of the stuff I hear from, you know, elsewhere.
So you don't sort of partially like this idea of creating this mythology? Or
I think, of course, absolutely, of course. So yeah, it's great fun, you know what I mean? You get to tell as many lies as you like, you know?
I heard one about you performing Lias covered in, you know, perhaps something that one might associate
my
with a toilet.
Feces.
Yeah, but then...
That's true.
Is it? Because somebody told me that it might have been their Nutella jar.
I once did it with coffee. Like watered down instant coffee, but Sheffield got the real deal because I mean I love Sheffield, you know.
Wonderful. So it's just, you know, you're just showing your appreciation.
Yeah, for great. The Steel City, you know, my second home.
I'm really glad you don't celebrate Valentine's Day because I dread to think what you might do. For
I don't celebrate it. No. I had to stop a few years back. Give that up, you know.
It is, of course, Fat White Family on the Guardian Radio Hour, everyone, if you didn't already, if you couldn't guess that. The next track, it's your mates, right? Meet Raffle.
I've got good friends, heroes.
Comrades. You know,
the only blessing South London deserves, Meet Raffle.
Brilliant. Yeah. Let's hear it. That was Aurora by Meet Raffle that just ended quite abruptly there. Not really a ballad, that one, guys. Come on.
No, it's a ballad. It's about a Soviet satellite. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's about a Soviet satellite.
Yeah.
It nearly got shut down by, I don't know, probably the Yanks. You know, yeah. So it's just a kind of...
We know it's a ballad because we know Zsa Sapien, who's the singer in Meet Raffle, and he could only sing about a Soviet satellite with absolute love in his heart.
It's an ode to a big bit of metal that floats around in space.
Maybe the only romantic song to be written about
exactly.
a bit of metal.
Which is why they are, you know, one of the most original outfits working today.
Yeah, well, they definitely have the best name ever, but you've also said that they are the best band ever.
Well, they're all quite... You know, they're not old, but I mean, I guess that, you know, the music scene is so completely taken up by, like, you know, really young people.
Well, the only people
they
that
seem
make,
old in comparison.
The only people that make decent music seem to be over 40 these days.
Certainly, judging by
and
your
playlist.
And
they've got playlist. Really they call their music death ragga or trapdoor jazz.
Trapdoor jazz
sounds good. Great.
Yeah, so they're poets, aren't they? You know,
they really are quite strange.
Yeah, they're really embody the same philosophy as the stuff we talked about before. I think they really kind of embody a lot of that, you know.
So they were kind of, or they are, the sort of Brixton Windmill in-house band. And
yes.
You were the Queen Head's in-house band.
Yeah.
For how long was that for?
About 3 years.
For about 3 years.
Three years deep.
3 years deep, my God.
I wanted to shout out to one of my colleagues on The Guide, Martin Horsfield, because he had a question, which was, what do you make up of the newly tarted Queen's Head?
I haven't been in
there. I went there for the first time last week, and it was quite peculiar sitting in there. I mean, it's felt a bit sterile. But I've got nothing against the, you know, the owners of the place, you know. And they got a better selection of beers, and the Heineken was actually 10 pence cheaper, so Simon Tickner can shove it.
That's the landlord, the old landlord.
The old landlords, yeah.
But it is just a pub, and
it is just
there's
a
more
room
to life.
You know, but they got rid of the stage, you know. There was a little foot tall stage, and
it was heartbreaking
to sit there, you know.
Do you guys
no longer there?
Do you guys still feel sort of part of or wedded or to this sort of, you know, Brixton thing that you came out of? I almost said scene then, but that's a fucking band.
There is a really good scene of music in Brixton right now, kind of based around the windmill. There's lots of young, like really young bands, and there's always really good gigs going on there, and Childhood always playing there, we play there.
Yeah.
And so a band called Shame, and all, you know, it's nice. I mean, it's just less... It's just far less pretentious than what you find in, you know, East London, I guess. But
the amount of places where it can occur is kind of swiftly diminishing, which is...
It's just the windmill now.
It's just the windmill now, which is why the windmill is so good now.
Yeah.
You can go there every night and there's always something great on because there is just the windmill. But once that goes, we're fucked.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, can a real rock band even survive in London these days?
Yes.
Yeah, survival is quite a...
But you are just kind of surviving.
Yeah, you are basically just passing day to day.
Pure survival.
Yeah.
Survivalists.
Yeah. Well, it's got Chipper on the radio show. Just quickly bringing it back to the Fat White Family myths and fables chapter of the radio show. For just one second. Someone was also got involved on the chat board and said, Leas, did you ride a donkey into a pub?
This bloody story again.
Do you want to just lay this to rest now?
I've tried to lay this to rest a dozen times, and it doesn't seem to go away. So maybe I should try and acquire a donkey and ride it into a pub, so, you know, these people would be satisfied.
So we're going to ask everyone listening now if you could please send donkeys
40 pence
to us.
So we can purchase a donkey.
I mean,
make a difference.
Ride it into the new Queens.
It would definitely be your sort of Bianca Jagger...
Yeah.
Studio 54 moment
it
done
really
the sort
would.
Of Brixton way.
Yeah, that's it, you know. Ride it into the Albert and have a half pint of ale.
And a candle.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe bringing it back to outside of ballads.
Yeah. Okay.
Just momentarily,
bring it
if
home.
That's cool. The next track that you've chosen is from one of my favourite artists, period, I think, Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
Why did you choose this one?
I just think it's a... people don't write stuff that's that kind of epic, really. I never heard
it's
anything
really
that's
epic.
So good. The scale of the thing is kind of mad.
It sounds
mad.
It sounds
archaic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, the language is kind of, the words and everything. It's just, I don't know, it was completely shocking, really, when I heard that.
And it's about a thousand years long.
And it's about a thousand
you're
years
gonna
long.
You're going to go to the pub in
so
a minute,
can,
aren't
you? Yeah, you can, see, when you're doing a radio show and you play it, you can have a fag, you know? It is. It's kind of a commitment, the song, you know what I mean? It's like...
It's also a dream of ours to play, go on tour with him or play with him one day. Isn't it?
Yeah, so if he's listening,
we're hoping
we'd love to do some shows with him because he's kind of a hero of ours.
Well, he's definitely one of the funniest people I've seen. And also, he's going to be doing this radio slot with us, the Guardian Radio Hour, next week.
Yeah.
So thanks for pimping that for me.
Yeah, well, we you
really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure to pimp, you know.
you're the official PR's publicist for the show. So, the vile stuff, Richard Dawson.
Thank you.
sadly we can't play all of the vile stuff because it is about 15 million minutes long.
It's hard to eat the whole thing. It's a big cake.
Absolutely. Big cake. So guys, your new album Songs for Our Mothers came out last month. I think it's fair to say that it divided people a fair bit. What did you make of how people have received? Yeah, it sounds like it's been quite a process.
Indeed.
What do you make of how people have people received it in the way that you wanted them to?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but it's not something that I genuinely really care about that. But
it's always nice to read a 1-star review. You know.
It is.
You can only go up from there.
Well, speaking, I mean, what's next for Fat White Family? Where do you go from here?
We've Sheffield tonight.
Yeah, but we've written another record, which is a concept record about a crooner called John Fanta that is slightly racist and has a residency in a dive bar on the outskirts of Las Vegas. And
the Reclamation of John Fanta.
I wouldn't expect anything less from you somehow. Yeah.
We think we're going to call the album Good Riddance to Bad Jagger. And that's an exclusive here on MTS.
You heard it here first.
Bad Jagger meaning?
Mick Jagger's a bad man.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Damn it, let's work. Check that one out. If you want proof.
Someone
burn your Stones records.
Someone else is just coming on the chat room with some pretty good questions. How long will it be till we start seeing Fat White Family front row at Fashion Week and embracing selling out? Do the band feel they can sell out for art? Will Saul launch a fashion label? Is Elias going to follow through with his dream of running the New York Marathon?
We've just got invited to
a Pam Hogg's fashion show because she's using one of our tracks, but I'm not going to go.
She's punk.
As soon as they offer
She's cool. I'm busy that day.
Once they offer us enough money, we'll gladly sell out. Yeah.
Whiskey. Yeah.
Please, offers on the table now.
I mean, the track that we're going to close with, "Goodbye Goebbels," is your sort of your album's closing ballad.
It is,
if
it
you
is
like,
a sensual cataclysm.
But it's also about your working relationship.
It is, not explicitly, but I suppose it is about our pairing.
I mean,
I think it's a song that we've written that I'm most proud of, I guess.
It always seems like there's a slight chance that you might kill each other. How does it work?
There was much more of a chance, a few months back. We were going to kill. Someone was going to die.
Somebody was going to, death was very much on the cards at that point.
But things are looking up and we haven't... tried to kill each other in the last three
days.
No,
we haven't even had a serious, grimace in a few weeks.
Not even a grimace.
Not even a grimace.
I mean, that sounds like progress, guys.
It's
well done.
Pure harmony. Pure harmony.
I'm really pleased for you. Thanks for coming in. It's been a brilliant show.
Oh, man. You know what? Great. We want a job. We want our own radio show.
Yeah, really
we want to quit being in a band and just do this now. Sit
this
around listening to other people's
this
music, talking, it's great.
Anything else on the checklist we can do for you? We've got Get Your Own Radio Show. We've got
Donkeys.
Tour with Richard Dawson. Any final requests?
Some corporate sponsorship as well. I think we touched on that, didn't we?
Brilliant.
Halliburton or Shell.
Okay, so if they're listening, get in touch, guys. This is Goodbye Goebbels and Songs for Our Mothers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.